You are listening to the Consumed Electronics Show, the Furlebros Tech Podcast.
Episode 120 of the Furlebros Tech Podcast. Today is January the 12th, 2014. I'm Matthew Dean Furlow, and this is my consumed by electronics brother, James Furlow.
Ha ha! Yes, I am. Actually, I'm the complete opposite of that. Not only did I not hold to my bargain of reading about it, I didn't even read about what the best one was.
So. That's awesome. See, it's funny. I don't know if our listeners have caught on to the trend, but I normally try to pick something that has to do with whatever happened this week in the real world, not just tech related. And this was a tough one because, you know, CES was a big one, but Golden Globes were today, and I've been wondering.
Were they?
Yeah.
I knew there was a football game or two on.
Yeah, those were also big ones.
Which, by the way, I called every single game this weekend.
Nice. That was a good choice. Yeah, I don't even know how to get that excited about it because. So you want to hear what the Seahawks are doing? By the way. I hate you for not hating them, but
Wait, what are you talking about?
You hate them? I thought you didn't hate them.
Wait, who are we talking about?
The Seahawks.
Yeah, it's complicated.
I hate you for not hating them.
Let me put it to you this way. I will not be cheering for them this weekend. I will not be happy if the Seahawks win this weekend. But, you know, on another weekend when they're not playing the 49ers, yeah, all right, you know, they're... I could put up with them.
I hate you for not hating them.
All right, fair enough.
So, you know what the thing is? This is what they're doing. They are blocking ticket sales to all zip codes in Central California and North Carolina because they didn't want anybody from the home teams being able to buy. You can buy them like secondhand through like StubHub, but you can't buy them directly if you have an area code. That's, you know, was a fan of one of the last two teams because they cheat. They cheat with their stadium, and it drives me crazy. It's so obvious, and just like you're not allowed to play, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to play crowd cheering sounds at, you know, like ear bleeding levels in order to make it impossible for the other team to communicate. That's just cheap. It's ridiculous. And now they don't even want any competition. They don't want to give up seats of their fans to Niners fans who can afford to fly up there because it's one less voice. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Just play fair, man. Play fair.
Just out of curiosity, would you have flown up if you could have gotten tickets?
No, but I know rich people who would have. I could have gotten tickets.
I'm going to put this out there.
Yeah.
For a very small fee, I'd be happy to buy the tickets. And because I don't think my zip code would be out of, you know, whatever. But Golden Globes as well, huh? Which one's that one?
That's the one with the TV and the movies and Amy Poehler and Tina Fey hosted. And like 17 years a slave or whatever, X number of years a slave. I feel bad for not knowing that one. But... It's a number somewhere between 5 and 20 years a slave. Won like the best of the best, you know, the big Golden Globe. I don't think they actually have different size ones, but it was the super cool one. And the Butler didn't even get nominated, which I don't think they saw that one coming. I mean, it's like you could argue. I've heard people argue of like, of course, Hollywood's going for the one about slavery, and like, you know, you're like, yeah, but they're not. I mean, it wasn't like they went for every opportunity for just go PC. I think they actually went for like the one they thought was best. That's weird. It's weird watching how like knowing that there's so much politicking behind it all, and it's garbage. It's all baloney.
I can. This is going to be a fun show, I can tell.
Yeah, well.
CES is lame. It's all garbage.
Thankfully, my opinion of CES is not quite as fraught with anger. You know, it's funny. I was like half an hour ago, I was feeling like great. Just like, you know what? Life is good. Life is awesome. Like I'm super stoked for this. Just you know, everything's great. And here we are. But you know what we're not here to talk about? Things that make me angry. We're here to talk about cool things. And this week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations dealing back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, their trade shows, and, of course, the technology they're developing. Man, I had that one in my brain, like going into it. What's it called? It's a trade show. And then just right at the last moment. But before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a short disclosure that he wants to throw our way.
Yes, I work for HP, but I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
That is good to know. They didn't launch anything at CES. It's kind of weird.
They had a booth.
I did not see a booth
last year.
I did not see a single article, and I have looked.
Well, that was funny.
Articles.
That was the kind of the feedback I heard was like, "Why does HP have a booth? I thought we were moving into the enterprise and the cloud." But
yeah.
I guess they had a booth.
So y'all had tablets and piece and stuff, right?
PCs? We did unveil a new Android all-in-one PC thingamajigger.
That prints over the air very easily, I'm assuming.
Probably. Very nice. Actually, that I can't talk about it. Let's just say, all right, here's what I'm going to say. It is shocking to me. How difficult it can be sometimes to turn bits into physical media. It is sometimes very complicated. That's all. It's shocking how complicated it can be.
Okay.
You know, and mostly because computers are no longer connected directly to the printers. So you're now dealing with a whole nother, you know, this huge intermediary, and it's hard.
You really wouldn't think so, but
you wouldn't. But believe me, it is.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, and if you think about it, we lived in a world for a really long time where there was one dominant operating system, and as long as you got that right, things were pretty easy, you know. And it was Windows 95 and Windows XP connected up to the printer. You know,
yeah.
That was easy. And now it's, well, there's some out there with Windows 8, some with Windows 7, believe it or not, there's still some with XP. There is now Android, there's iOS, there's, BlackBerry.
I think the answer is frustratingly simple, but it kind of throws your model upside down. Their model upside down. But the obvious answer is that they need to be able to think for themselves. They need to be able to take a 2D rendering of something and figure out how to print it on their own. You know, the fact that XP did so much of the heavy lifting, computational heavy lifting, is the heart of the problem. But you would think that in the modern age of, you know, super cheap processors, that you could write, you know, you could basically make a device that all it does is pick up a file and then figures out what to do with it from there. You know, there's not a huge number of different file formats out there. And you know, at tops, you'd have drivers on the. Why are we talking about this? This is such a huge week, man. It's such a huge week.
The last point that I'm going to make is, by the very nature of what just happened there, you could see it has the potential to be an interesting job, an interesting problem, at least, to try to solve.
Yes, so. It's too bad that nobody prints anymore.
All right. My paycheck says otherwise, but cool.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm going to keep saying it until it's true.
Fair enough.
Eventually I'll be right. So anyways, if you want to follow us throughout the week when we say interesting things and tweet interesting things and Instagram interesting things, I did a terrible job of social mediaizing this week. But, you know, it's not every
week. That's because you were busy following CES. I appreciate that.
Pretty much. But that's not every week. And if you do want to follow us, my Twitter handle is at Matthew D. Furlow, and my Instagram handle is at NextWiggin4. One word, all lowercase. Pretty awesome.
I am at James Furlow and JamesFurlow.com.
JamesFurlow.com. And if you want to get all sorts of information about the week and like all the articles from our CES coverage this week, you can go to our website. That's furloughbros.com. I feel sort of bad for James this week because there are quite a few articles. Last year I grabbed just like your like top tech of CES.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed because I feel like, you know, you want to get a little more depth. You want to get nitty gritty. You weren't there. You want to know what was cool that didn't just make the top five, you know, because there's a lot of cool stuff that gets shown there. And this week, man, oh man, did we deliver. We're going to have to move pretty fast. It's going to be interspersed with a couple of different stuff, but that happened during
the week.
Piece
of administrative.
Okay, go for it.
As you talk about a story, just highlight it real quick or something, just so I can make sure to post the right ones. Because, you know, just in case we don't talk about every single one.
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to be easier.
Or I'll just put them all, and we'll be good. All right. Never mind.
Okay. So just a little bit of a brief, this is what happened last week.
CES.
This is the un-CES stuff. Because this is I actually think, you know, I don't want y'all to not know what happened. And so really super fast. Number one, Mavericks OS X Mavericks adoption uptake. They're getting beat over the head because they gave it away free and they're not getting their dominant adoption rates that they used to, like they do with iOS. They're like, everybody's like, you're giving away free. Why isn't everybody doing that? And somebody wrote an article where they actually like broke down what different Macs are out there based on the hardware. And they basically said, look, like if you actually look at hardware that can like update to Mavericks, like 90% of the Macs have Mavericks. Maybe we should all chill out. So Mavericks adoption uptake rate, pretty awesome. It just looks terrible if you look at the raw numbers. Amazon, I don't know if you've seen their commercial that makes the iPad look silly with their like beautiful screen.
Yes, I have. Yes.
They advertise that it's 20% lighter than the iPad Air and that it's like huge and everything. This is awesome, though. They keep all of their things when they compare it. It's a picture of the Kindle compared to the iPad Air, and then they show the iPad Air Mini. And technically,
nice. They're
not lying. Yeah, when they talk about and so they basically like they're you know and they never show them side by side, like physically side by side. But it's like, yeah, the Kindle Fire is bigger than the iPad Mini Air and lighter than the iPad Air. And they just, and they're like, that's a ridiculous, that's as close to false advertising
lying.
As you can get. Yeah, lying. And the best part was, is they're like, if you actually compare like weight per square inch, the iPad's like 20% lighter per square inch. Just pretty impressive for the iPad Air. So, since it's bigger. It's, and you know, considerably so. So, that was interesting. And then the last piece was, what's it called? That one company that we are beginning to love to hate. Snapchat. Came out, number one, they finally apologized for letting all our information go. And the other thing is they basically revealed why they didn't
take... I'm glad to know they listened to our show. That's all.
I know. Thank you, guys. But they also revealed why they didn't take the $3 billion from Zuck. And it's basically because they were Yeah. And they said that it actually makes a little bit of sense. Basically, they were like, look, Zuckerberg came to us and was like... we're going to crush you guys, by the way. We're launching Poke, and you're done. And then, you know, like 6 months later, came back, and we're like, how about we give you $3 billion, and we just call this quits? Like, clearly you guys, your platform won, but we'd like to buy. I mean, we don't want this competition. Just come on board with us. And they basically said, we sensed weakness. We think that, you know, Facebook can't, you know, stop us. And you're like, you're right, Facebook can't stop
okay.
you, but you guys can stomp yourself. So, you know, it's just one of those, like, all right, Snapchat guys, good news, that's it. So that's our brief week in review of stuff that didn't have to do with the Consumer Electronics Show. So this
good week.
I don't know. This was CES 2014.
All right. I'm ready, man.
So NVIDIA was a little bit frustrated by not frustrated, but you know, they got a little bit trumped by Apple's A7 64-bit architecture. They've got their cool chip out there that's, you know, that the A7 is awesome for graphics and everything. And they wanted to really let everybody know that don't worry, you know, we are going to be able to keep up with the performance of the A7 and surpass it. They announced as they had a quad core processor, and the CEO said, you know, we wanted to do something bigger, so we were thinking about doing a 8-core processor. We thought that was a little pedestrian. Everybody does 8 cores, so instead we did a 192-core processor.
Oh.
Which is ridiculous. I don't even know what that means. I mean, it's just it's for a mobile chip. You're like, what is that? And basically what it is just like super, it sounds like it's a super highly super threaded processing thing that they're doing. They're able to do all sorts of crazy rendering stuff really fast. I don't know. I know that's super technical.
So but, is it made to go into a mobile device?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what's crazy. This thing is this thing's a beast. It offers 3 times the performance of Apple's A7 processor, which is kind of a beating since the A7 was your top of the line. I think that's just graphics performance, though, and that's not total performance. I'm not sure, though. But they showed off the Unreal Engine 4 because they were working with the company who develops that, which is Epic Games. And it's astounding what they're doing graphically on a mobile processor. I mean, it's actually unbelievable what the games are starting to look like. It's really unfortunate.
Dare we say it's unreal?
Yes. Yes, we dare say that. I think my note was, seriously, it's unbelievable. Also, it's called Unreal.
Nice.
Yeah. This thing's a beast. It's astounding. There's no hardware that is coming out on next, but they're saying like end of the year. The Tegra K1 will be offered in 2 pin-to-pin compatible versions, a 32-bit quad-core 4+1-arm ATX A15 CPU, and a custom NVIDIA-designed 64-bit dual super-core Denver CPU. So they got the 64-bit in there just in case. With this like crazy 192-core, whatchamacallit, nobody's even like sure what to make of it yet. But this thing's awesome. It's a beast. It's going to be cool. And they're one of the crazy things that they're talking about with all of this is they're just like the convergence where you don't need a desktop anymore is it's coming so fast. You can't even, in 5 years, it's going to be laughable to get desktops, just laughable. The SoCs are just breakneck speed catching up. And for these mobile processors. And the only time that you're going to want an actual, like, you know, hardcore desktop computer is going to be for, like, your Mac Pro and your workstation stuff where you've got, like, you know, dedicated GPUs and these, you know, just powerhouse stuff, basically building small, you know, independent server racks. But It's cool. It's very cool. So that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Also on Memble, on Monday, James, get excited. Don't get excited. This is actually not good for news for you at all. Pebble announced a new piece of hardware called Pebble Steel.
Sounds and looks cool.
It looks really cool. Basically what it is it's just the Pebble watch on the inside, and it's steel on the outside. It's just a slick-looking Pebble.
When did you order yours?
I have not yet because...
Monday afternoon? No?
As I've already said, I'm waiting for Apple's iWatch, and that'll come out.
Wasn't it like 250 bones or something like
that? Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Not cheap.
And it doesn't have a pedometer built in, which kind of a deal killer.
Well, so that's kind of, they also released their Pebble API 2.0, and they will soon be opening up their Pebble store. And they were saying that because of the motion tracker, it can act as a pedometer similar to your Fitbit. So
really? Yeah, I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
and they talked about some example apps for that. So take that.
That sounds pretty awesome, actually. And so Sharp. Now we're going to get into the 4Ks, because the 4K, that was a big thing in CES this year. We knew that was coming. We saw it. We said 4K, this is the year 4K. But Sharp, I guess they like regularly do this at CES. They like to try to show what's really coming next down the line. So they showed off their 8K glasses-free 3D TV. I don't even know what to make of that. Yeah. They're like, how do you even record it that? Like, it was ridiculous. They said that to be frank, they said it was kind of weird because they were like, number one, the 3D was kind of they said it was a little underwhelming. Your eyes hurt after a while, but they said the 8K content was just like, nothing really, because there aren't really 8K cameras out there. It was such an astounding number of pixels that it's like, cool, you can display this, but you know, you talk about the 4K content.
Wow.
Problem. The 8K is even bigger. And what's really fascinating this week, or just kind of what's been going on the last few weeks, is everybody's been talking about making fun of the fact that with these 4K TVs, like, yeah, it's a 4K TV, but what are you going to watch on it? Like, Netflix just announced that they're going to start streaming 4K. YouTube is streaming 4K. Like, who watches real TV anymore? Like, who at these tech shows watch, you know, real TV anymore? Like, you're early adopters. I feel like this is a solved problem. You know, with the exception of sports, and the sportscasters love like jumping on these, like ESPN was the only channel to do 3D, which by the way, on Monday, also kind of like, I thought this was, who is it? What article? The Wire basically came out and was like, look, 3D's dead. 3D TV, it's over. That was a fun run. Nobody at CES is coming out with like new 3D TVs. ESPN is like basically they're ending their channel, and they were like the only ones that were doing 3D. Like it's over. That was a fun little run. Woohoo! I don't think it's completely done, because I think there's still space, especially in the 3D UI or in video game playing for 3D. And we will come back around to that. But clearly for TV and movies, you know, movies still do very well with 3D. They're still generating a lot of stuff. But TV, yeah, it's over. it was a fun run. Good job, guys. Didn't work out. 4K seems a lot more promising. At the same time this week, I got one article about Asus's 28-inch 4K. Dude, everybody had a 4K, 28-inch 4K monitor. It was crazy. And this is the other thing. I read an article that finally, like, broke it down. Have you heard the term ultra-high-definition TVs?
Yes.
Or, like, monitors and stuff. You've heard 4K, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you know the difference?
There is none.
Wrong. This is awesome. The difference between Ultra HD and it's suffering under the 4G same problem that happened with 4G, where there isn't really like a hard fast, like, nobody owns 4K versus Ultra HD. They were just kind of generally agreed upon terms. But 4K is actually defined as a 16:9 ratio. It is the movie industry standard ratio. Ultra HD is the same number of pixels tall, but it's a smaller ratio. It's like, so instead of like 1,000 wide, it's like 3,500 wide. It's the same PPI, it's just a smaller aspect ratio. And so when somebody says it's an ultra, it's a Ultra HD or UHD 4K TV, what they're implying is it's the same PPI as 4K, but it's actually a different aspect ratio, as opposed to a true 4K monitor and 4K TV, which has the aspect, has the 16:9 aspect ratio. So I'll try. I will do my best to try to actually call, you know, the UHD, UHD, and 4K, 4K, but if I don't, it's because nobody's getting it right, because everybody's just, you know.
Well, really, and it sounds like fundamentally it's the same. Now it's just a matter of screen dimensions.
Right, and content dimension. You know, it's, do you get the black bar on top and bottom, or do you get it on the sides?
Yeah,
I personally want it on the sides, but, you know, whatever, that's me. I don't care about black bars anymore. It used to bother me, like it used to bother people, and then I actually, like, well, and then I actually learned, like, you know, the fact that I learned what they do in movies when they crop it down and, like, how that whole thing works. Now it drives me crazy watching, like, standard, you know, or cropped movies, stuff that's not done in the original aspect ratio. Because you can watch the, like, it pans weirdly across frames. Oh, it's so awful. So I'd much rather the original aspect ratio, preferably. And then AT&T decided to announce a program that they think is going to break the law. So it'll probably never hit the market. But basically what they said is they want
to... Really? Illegal?
Yeah. The FCC has come out and said, like, guys, I'm pretty sure you can't do this. So AT&T, they want to do sponsored data for companies like Facebook and Twitter, who would fit the bill. So basically it's like, you know, you got these data caps, you can only go for, you know, whatever, you know, whatever we're like 3 gigabytes. Yeah. And so basically they're saying, they're saying AT&T saying that if Facebook were to pay AT&T a bazillion dollars a year, that data wouldn't hurt, you know, like movies, pictures, all that stuff wouldn't go against your used data. And so, basically, Facebook would be paying for the bill, which, for all of your, you know, open internet, free and fair internet advocates, you know, just immediately went insane, because it's like, if you're a, let's say, you want to start a video streaming service that has some cool new feature that's way better than YouTube, like, I don't know, it buffers. That'd be a cool feature that YouTube doesn't have. it wouldn't necessarily, users would be, if Google was willing to pay AT&T, play ball, a smaller company couldn't necessarily afford to pay AT&T. And so YouTube wouldn't go against your data usage, but, MatthewTube would. And so even though MatthewTube's a better service, it would cost you against your data cap. And so, YouTube wouldn't have an unfair business advantage because they could pay more, which is...
And the net would not be very neutral at that point.
Exactly. And this is one of those interesting, like, you know, creative, you know, this is one of those interesting, like, capitalism versus utilities versus, you know, like, what do you do here, man? This is an interesting one to me, because there's a part of me that's like, you know, if Google can foot the bill for me for YouTube, then I can use YouTube over the internet or over LTE, and AT&T is cool with that, and that doesn't hurt me. That'd be pretty awesome. At the same time, as a utility, AT&T is definitely
So that also would mean that AT&T would be tracking which services you use.
Right, which they already do. They just don't do anything with their data.
Yeah, but theoretically, it might just all be anonymous. My guess is that there are very strict rules that they have to follow on what they can collect and the information that they can tie together. It's my guess.
I'll bet there's rules on it, but I bet they and the NSA don't listen to those rules.
Maybe, but that's the problem with something like this, right? It just makes it super obvious that, dude, the only way you can do this is to track what people are doing and connect a name to that. I could see where there's some massive privacy concerns, and it could be illegal from that standpoint.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. I think the biggest reason why this isn't going to work is the whole argument against data caps was the whole argument for data caps with AT&T was that you cannot allow unbridled access to the internet over the cellular network because they couldn't handle it. If everybody used as much as they wanted. If everybody used as much Netflix and as much YouTube as they wanted, it would bring down the whole system. And basically what they're saying is they're like, well, if YouTube's or if Google's willing to pay for it, everybody can use as much YouTube as they want.
All right.
So a lot of people, a lot of your Congress people who are net neutrality advocates and what's interesting about the whole net neutrality debate is that it's sort of like, which side of the political aisle you want, not necessarily you. There's not even really good political divides, but it's, one side of it are advocates who say net neutrality means the government doesn't govern the internet. The other side of it is saying that the internet is a utility and the companies that are profiting from it can't manipulate their effective monopolies to abuse, individuals, which is by definition the government regulating some aspect of it. So it's like, I don't one half dozen of the other. I'm hoping we can just kind of wade our way through this and make the best of it. But it's definitely a complicated one. It's not an easy one to figure out, but I think the very fact that they're simultaneously arguing they need data caps in order to keep the network alive, and then they're going to use that as a way to get even, basically leverage even more money, I think ultimately that's what's going to doom this service, and that's the reason why the FCC is going to tell them they can't do it. It's not they're going to cite net neutrality arguments, but I think that the real motivation, the political pressure, is going to come from the fact that it's just like y'all are really, really obviously abusing your effective monopoly. And so we're not going to – and the only reason why you're able to do this is because you're colluding with Verizon and they're doing the same thing. We can't prove it, so we can't prosecute you for it, but that's obviously what's going on here. So how about y'all not do that? But it seemed like it was an intriguing idea, but I think it's going to die in its infancy. The next day, so that was kind of what happened on Monday. On Tuesday,
all right, a lot already.
I know. The Polaroid company, they're coming back around, man. So the advocates of printing on demand, they made a new phone camera thing. It's an Android phone, and it prints stuff. It doesn't print 3D stuff, which would be very cool. It prints just 2D things, which
is so cool.
Is it?
Like what kind of stuff?
Well, like pictures. You take a picture and it prints it. It's a Polaroid camera. That's all. I mean, it goes back.
Print receipts?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
All right.
Does it print receipts? You are such a dork.
What? I'm just going to the business case.
Yeah, no, okay, I see what you're doing there. That's, you know what? You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay,
Thank
that
you.
was an unfair jab. That is a good question. It's definitely not meant for that. It's if you take
Oh,
a look
okay.
at these, if you take a look at these camera phone things, they're very, very. They look like app icons. They look like the Instagram icon is what they look like.
Oh, look
Which I
at
don't know if they did that on purpose or not. I think they did.
that.
It looks kind of
Yeah,
dumb.
they did.
But yeah, it's basically an Android phone. I can't even. I'd love to see people using this thing. It looks so ugly as a phone. I mean, it's jeez. There's a QR
So
code.
here, you stop talking for a bit.
Okay.
So that way I've got it on the screen of what it looks like. So you can kind of see those the cameras. And they're the square looking things, which I wonder how big that piece of paper is that's being printed to kind of give an indication of how large those cameras are.
It's a 2x3.
That's business card size.
Yeah. So it's not even a big picture. It's a 4.5 inch touchscreen LCD, which is a nice size touchscreen. For at $299, it'll be a tough sell for those who already have a smartphone in their pocket.
Yeah.
14 megapixel camera's pretty nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Maybe.
In the four corner of your printed photo, there's a QR code so that the Socialmatic users can scan it, get the digital version from Polaroid servers, and reprint it. Well, it's a good idea. A QR code doesn't look good on your photo. See, I mean, it's just one of those, like, it's just such a gimmicky thing, and I don't know. I get what they're trying to do, but.
That's the kind of thing where you like, those would be fun floater devices at a party or something at
Yeah.
an event. You know, where it's, you take the picture and you know, whatever, you got the hard copy of it, you can pass them around or something, and then it's, you get home, you scan them in, and you get the digital to
That actually
remember
is
the
it.
event by.
I'm gonna say that actually is a, you know, it's funny, man. You read like a bunch about this stuff and nobody ever comes up with a like a clever use case, but that's a really good one. I could see having those at the table at weddings and all of them syncing to the same server. And so you take pictures of each other and you print them all out and you get your little, you know, you get your little basically stack of pictures that you liked. The wedding party gets the entire set of pictures all synced back. I mean, that's actually a cool idea. I mean, granted, they're $300 cameras, so you'd have to be one of those rich weddings that are doing this, or a venue, you know, that has them. But
There,
that's it.
yeah, that's what my thought was.
I say, but that's cool. You know, that's not a bad idea. That is actually cool. That would be cool. Because it's like I think back to the I went to a wedding where we took one of the coolest pictures I have ever been a part of. It was me and it was everybody in my family line and my fraternity that was there. And we took like this picture of the four of us all fancy and stuff, and it looked like a cover of a album. Like Wood made a great album cover. It was really cool. But it like it printed it out as one of those like, you know, those like four strips, what are those photo booth type things. And then you could like go online and download the picture. And that was pretty fun. That was like a case for that was a case for printing. And it's basically, you know, as far as you're not printing, okay, I'm coming back around. This is actually not a bad idea for certain use cases. Because it does serve as a it's basically a business card for where you can find the rest of the photos easily. You know, if you're not Facebook friends or ever or whatever. That's kind of cool. Okay. So Sony, they launched a bunch of really cool things actually. I thought they did a good job this year. But the two big ones was they teased their life tracking core, as they called it. Basically, they designed a little device that will they there's no product that it's coming out with immediately, but it's essentially a tracker that is designed to be super sophisticated, so you can hook it to your hip, hook it to your wrist, hook it wherever, and it'll sync over Bluetooth, and it'll be a little cool, you know, yeah. It's just one of those, like, it's one of those quantified life devices that it's going to be in the running with everything else going this year. Right. But it's coming from Sony, so, and they claim it's pretty high quality. That's kind of cool. And then the other big one, and this one was huge. This was huge. So back, if you remember, back when the Xbox One and this PlayStation 4 were announced, the Xbox One got in a lot of trouble because they had all sorts of DRM stuff that, like, people flipped out about, and, you know, like, your disc is registered to your game system, you can't share it with people, whereas PlayStation,
yeah,
Sony was like, you can share your video games with anybody. Microsoft came back and they said, it actually surprised us that everybody freaked out, because we were under the impression that nobody would buy video games anymore. We were kind of like onto the whole Valve Steam Machine thing of, you know, you just download digital copies of your games, and effectively all a disc was a really quick download. Like, as far as we were concerned, that's where everything's going, and so we built all the hardware and software around it. And I think once people kind of looked at it and they had a second chance to look at it, they realized why that didn't work. But the logic behind it totally makes sense to me.
Right.
Whereas PlayStation, they just kind of were like, no, you'll still buy game discs. Well, turns out probably the reason why they were down with it is because they've got a similar idea as Xbox. You won't be buying video games, and it will be locked down via DRM, but this is what's cool. Instead of downloading entire video games, you'll stream them. And what's really awesome about it is it's going to work on basically everything. It'll work on the PS4, the Vita, the PS3, their tablets, their smartphones. This thing is a beast of a service. It's called PlayStation Now, and it also goes to their Bravia TVs and it's based on the acquisition of their streaming outfit, Gaikai. It's basically subscription model for PlayStation users. It's going to be coming to the PS3 first in January, and then it'll be coming to the rest of it later 2014. Who knows?
And the cost?
They didn't really get into it in this article. It's not terribly expensive. It's affordable, if I remember correctly. And they say it's really, really good. It's actually, they say that the download times, you know, because basically what it does is it buffers levels as you play. And they're like, you know, it's good. It's really good. It works. It does what it's supposed to do, and it works at an effective rate. You know, obviously, if you have a super slow internet connection, it'll be
like
painstaking
mine.
And not possible. Yeah, exactly. It'll not really work. But if you have a decent Wi-Fi connection, they're saying this will work. It's gonna work. It's gonna be awesome, and saves a lot of space on your place on your devices, and so you don't have to have huge hard drives and. You know,
cool.
Chances are this will be one might call it a game changer. It'll be really fascinating, I think, in a couple of weeks when Triple E or whatever that E3 comes around.
Triple E.
We're gonna have to get our some guests on for that week again.
You're gonna have a guest next week, right?
I do know that. It's still a secret guest host.
Cool. To you as well.
What?
To you as well?
Maybe. No. Yes. Maybe.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
It's just not gonna be just me. That's for sure. I get all awkward when I have to talk to myself on camera.
I think you could do it. I think you could do it.
Probably. But this is cool. This is really cool. I'm excited to see this. This was a big one. Win Game Product of the Year. That award rather goes to Razer's... That went to Oculus Rift's Crystal Cove prototype. I got jumped around there. Oculus Rift came out with. I personally go for that. I think the streaming service is going to be a big one. But Oculus Rift, they came out with a new prototype. This thing's cool. Basically, it had a bunch of like motion tracker stickers on the helmet, and then it had a little camera. And so instead of just giving you relative gyroscopic position of where you were looking to give you your position of the camera, it also tracked your head forward, backward, left, right, and panned your heads up display based on that. And the example they gave was like you're sitting in a cockpit for of your starfighter or whatever, in this particular version, and you're sitting there and you look around and you can look around all of space like you would be able to just normally by looking around. But if you leaned in, the control panel would move towards your face, and you could see at greater detail of different points. Yeah, it sounds really cool. Everybody was like, and then the other big thing, and this is actually this is the really big deal. The latency got cut in like half. This is this device was shown with the best or the best case latency that they've gotten so far. So it has the OLED screens. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Things that they've been working on. And this was basically them showing it off to the world of this is how good it's gotten. And everybody was like, it's gotten amazing. last year when they showed off their stuff, everybody, sat down and said, it's really exciting. It's got a lot of potential. I like it. This year they were like, basically, what we didn't tell you last year was it wasn't ready for prime time. It's ready for prime time this year. And you're like, well,
awesome.
So why didn't you tell us that last year? That would have been good to know. Makes you wonder what they didn't tell us this year about it. But I think that's the big reason why it won, product of the year. But one of the things is they talked about this like whole head tracking thing with a camera. Everybody was like, I don't want a camera, man. It's that's stupid. It's like, I got to sit right in front of a camera. And I don't know why I read it. Like the first sentence I read somewhere was basically like, cameras are just the easiest way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. Don't worry. It's probably not going to have a camera that you have to, sit in front of. And you're like, okay, good. Cause that would be kind of frustrating for this device that, basically is all inclusive. You could go outside and play it with it covering up your eyes.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah, somebody could run up and steal it from you. But the long and short of it is that it was a great tech demo. People are getting really stoked on it. Sounds like it's going to be cool.
I heard there were a few people that were like when they were doing the flying around in space stuff. They were like, I'd do a loop and my stomach actually turned, as if I had really done it.
I believe it.
Pretty convincing.
Yeah. Razer, the guys who make the really cool mice, and keyboards, they announced a new project called Project Christie, which is basically it's a PC that's built modularly. So instead of building a traditional PC where you open up the box, you put your CPU in, you got a motherboard and your different RAMs and everything, basically this is a really super easy way of doing it. And by super easy way of doing it, we mean super expensive way of doing it. This is a gaming rig in the truest sense of the word, in the truest sense. It's got like fluids built into all of its different modular components. It looks really cool. But you can bet your bottom dollar that it will cost everything, including your bottom dollar, in order to buy this when it comes out in a year or two. So it looks really cool. It's cool. It's a cool project to be worked on, but I don't see it going, really, really far. Those are your like three huge video game things this year, BTW, at this particular show. Samsung announced a 12-inch tablet as they continue to try to not copy the iPad. Everybody says there's a 12-inch iPad coming, Samsung comes out with a 12-inch tablet. Nobody seemed really stoked on it. It was just one of those, and hey, Samsung did this. As they basically they're just blanketing with every different, possible combination they could think of.
I think it looks cool.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's a nice little tablet. They're fine. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. and it's really big. So if you want something really big, you can like. It's weird because I'm on the. I want the iPad Mini. I like the iPad Mini. I like the smaller screen iPhones. I don't need the giant screen everything, but that's just me, I think. So it's hard for me to empathize. Biz Stone, one of the co-creators of Twitter, was it Twitter? Yeah.
Yep.
He launched a new project that he's been kind of teasing for a while. It's called Jelly. It's basically a kind of a social network where you take pictures of stuff and ask people questions, and then your friends and social networks people answer them. Everybody seemed really excited about it, and then when it actually came out, they seemed really unexcited about it.
I don't get it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really get it either. I figured if I were to use it, maybe it would turn out like cool, and I'd be like, wow, this is really awesome. I have not given up on it, but at this point, it seems kind of dumb.
I just feel like they niched it or scoped it down way too much. Like, why do I got to ask a question? Why?
Yeah.
Why can't I just make a statement?
Right.
But then it'd be called Instagram, I guess.
Right. And it's like who is a good painter for hire in San Francisco? I don't know. So I can't answer that one. Has anyone bought any accessories to mount to this outside to weatherproof? What?
So it's like Quora with pictures.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I don't know. It's all right. I mean, it's cool. It looks nice. Works well. You know, as far as an app, it's well built. So
what happens when you got millions of dollars to hire a dev team.
Exactly. And then the other big news, consumer-level 3D printer that was announced. There was a bunch of 3D printers announced, tons and tons of them. There are only two really worth – obviously, your MakerBots came out with some cool bigger ones, but I think the two most notable ones number one, this one was who are these guys? XYZ Printing. They wanted to get something below the $500 price point, so they went for $499. But it's a 3D printer for less than $500, so that's kind of a big deal.
That's cool.
Yeah, does 8-inch squares approximately, or 8-inch cube for size of what you can print. It's cool. It's moving. That technology is going fast, and it's getting better. So, very exciting. That is Tuesday.